Good morning. Praise God for a wonderful day. Many prayers have already been answered today, and the day is still young. Thanks, Kyle, for reading that passage. The text for our lesson today is going to be out of that chapter, specifically in the 20th and the 21st verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Imagine that you're having an important gathering at your home. It could be family, it could be business partners, someone who's important coming to your home. You take down the good china and the glasses from the cabinet, and before the meal begins, before your guests arrive, you're filling up the glasses with the iced tea. And you're noticing, as you fill up the glasses with the iced tea, that there are dead cockroaches that are floating to the top. Now, what are you going to do? Well, let's imagine that you're now placing the good china on the table. And as you place each plate on the table, you notice there's some dried food in the middle of those plates. Looks like there's some egg yolk on one of them, maybe a little oatmeal on another. What are you going to do? Well, any good host or hostess is going to make sure that those utensils are clean, that they're pure, that they're worthy of serving your guests. Well, if that's a little absurd, let's go a little further. Let's say that you're going to have a large group of people in your home, and you're going to need to have a lot of lemonade, and you're ready to mix the lemonade, and you look around your kitchen, and you're trying to find something that's going to be large enough to mix that lemonade in. Would you even consider taking your trash can out of the cabinet, out from underneath the cabinet, and pouring in the water and pouring in the lemonade mix and mixing it up to serve to your guests? Would you even consider that? Now, you're ready to present your pot roast, and you've worked hard on this, and it's a beautiful piece of work, only it's larger than your platter. Would you even consider going out to the garage and popping off the hubcap from the Chrysler and placing your pot roast right in the middle, because it's large enough, and setting that on the table in front of your guests? Would you even think of doing something like that? Would you think of taking one of the most lowly vessels we could think of, a bedpan, and serving mashed potatoes to your guests? Would you even consider something like that? Certainly not. But what I would like you to consider today is, what does God see when He looks at us, when He wants to use us in His kingdom? Does God see the cockroaches floating to the top when He tries to fill our glass? Does God see the contamination on the plate when He's ready to serve? Does God look around and not find anything appropriate when He looks at us to serve with? For the next few minutes, I'd like for us to consider the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, and challenge us to consider that question. What does God see when He looks at us to use us in His kingdom? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Now, when I read that passage, I think, what a blessing What a blessing that He is considering using us. And not only does He consider using us as a vessel, but we have the opportunity to be used as a vessel of honor. Because He says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. We have some decision here. We have an opportunity to be a vessel of honor. We do not have to be a vessel of dishonor in the Lord's kingdom. You see, what that tells me is that I'm not stuck at the position I am right now in life. If I am mediocre in the kingdom of the Lord, I don't have to stay that way. If I am less than mediocre, I don't have to stay that way. I can do something about it with the Lord's help. I can be something of value to the Lord. You see, the world would teach us that we're destined by our genetic makeup to be a certain way, or we're destined by our environmental surroundings as we're growing up to be a certain way, but that is not what the Lord is telling us here. He's saying if we cleanse ourselves from the things of the world, we can be a vessel of honor. That is hope. Not only can we, but He wants us to. He encourages to. And not only does He encourage us to do that, He helps us do it. He helps us be that way. So how is it that we become a vessel of honor? How is it that we clean ourselves? How is it that we become something that God can use? Well, I believe the first thing is that we have to break free from the kind of thinking that binds us to our past sins in particular. You see, God did not create us to become vessels of dishonor. That wasn't why we were created. The devil would like us to see ourselves as a vessel of dishonor. He would like us to see ourselves as powerless to change what we are, who we are. He would like us to become comfortable with our state of dishonor. But we must know who we really are and what we were created for. Ephesians 2:10 tells us exactly that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're not a vessel of dishonor. We are His workmanship, created for Him for good works. We're not the stained kettle or the cracked pot that's destined to become the dog dish someday because it can't be used in the house anymore. That's not us. That's not why we were created. If we know who we are and why we were created, then we need to set our hearts, our minds on becoming what He created us for. This verse in 2 Timothy mentions four things, and I'd like for us to consider those four things this morning. Four things that are part of becoming a vessel of honor. First, he mentions cleansing. For the Lord to be able to use us, we need to be clean. We cannot be contaminated. We can't have the old stuff clinging to the inside if the Lord's going to be able to use us. The next thing he mentions is sanctification. Not only do we need to cleanse ourselves, we need to take ourselves away from the source of contamination. We need to be stored in the cupboard for the good china, not stored in the corner of the garage, so that when we're needed, we're dirty again. He talks about usefulness. We need to prepare ourselves in such a way that He can use us, that we take the talents that He has given us, the opportunities that we have, and we present ourselves a servant to Him and to others. And finally, he talks about preparation. How do we get ourselves ready so that when the time comes, we are ready to serve, that we are available to take off the shelf, that we can function the way that He needs us to function? So those four things, let's take a look at: cleansing, sanctification, usefulness, preparation. We must cleanse ourselves, and the word cleanse in that verse means to cleanse thoroughly or to purge out, to be completely clean. We need to cleanse ourselves from the works of dishonor, it says in this passage. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 1st verse says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Hebrews 12, chapter, verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Sin renders us useless for God's purpose. God cannot take us and use us if sin is stuck all over us. It makes us ineffectual. It makes us unsuitable. It makes us impure for His work. We are hindered when we have a guilty conscience. We are burdened with the trials of a sinful life, so much that it crowds out the things that are good that we might be able to do. We cannot show forth His glory when we're tainted by the world. So we must search our hearts. We need to repent of any evil, and we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness to cleanse us so that we can be suitable. Psalm 139 and 23 carries this sentiment. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 51, verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." This was the plea of the psalm writer, to cleanse his life, to become pure. 1 John, 1st chapter, 9th verse. Here's a promise. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This places us in a right relationship with God. This makes us clean. This makes us worthy to be used for His noble purposes. So cleansing is a part of being a vessel of honor. Sanctification. We must be sanctified. The word sanctified here means to be purified or consecrated, to venerate, to hallow, to be holy, to sanctify. To remain clean, we must separate ourselves from the ways of the world. We must put ourselves in a position to remain pure for the Master's use. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse, speaks to this. Ephesians 4:17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is how we sanctify ourselves for the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I think of Daniel when I think of sanctification. He lived among the Babylonians, but he separated himself from their ways and their practices. He was sanctified for the Lord's work and ready when the Lord needed him, for whatever the Lord needed him for. Sanctification means setting aside time, setting aside your energy, setting aside the good things that you have in your life for the Lord's work. Daniel devoted time to prayer on a regular basis and to be about the Lord's work. He's an example, I believe, of sanctification. We put on this new man that was talked about in our previous verses by changing our thinking and our behavior. We don't remain the same. We become different. We become better. We become new if we want to be sanctified. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to change. If we have been in the contaminated world, we don't stay in the contaminated world if we want to be a vessel of honor. We become something different, something new, something better than we were before. And God helps us with that. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. If we yield ourselves to the Lord's will, he will help us in this process. Think of our Lord's example, his times of prayer and meditation as he was beginning his ministry, as he come toward the end and was ready to face his death. Not my will, but thy will be done. That was the attitude the Lord took, and he set himself apart and dedicated his life for his Father. So we must cleanse ourselves. We must sanctify ourselves by setting ourselves apart and becoming something different, something better. This verse also talks about us being useful. We need to be useful to the Lord. The word useful in this passage in 2 Timothy 2:20 is the word profitable, meet for use, or appropriate for use. We need to be something the Lord can use, usable. You know, pride and a self-serving attitude will not render us useful in God's kingdom. Probably one of the most unuseful things is a proud man. We need to get rid of that. We must develop a humble spirit of a servant. If we want to be useful to the Lord, we have to see ourselves as a servant. We see ourselves as a servant to Christ. We see ourselves as a servant to others. Matthew 25th chapter in the 14th verse, we see that we are to be a good steward of what God has blessed us with in order to serve Him. This is the parable of the talents, sometimes referred as. We know that God entrusts us with certain talents and certain abilities. If we do not use those, if we do not develop them, if we do not make ourselves useful to the Lord with the things He's blessed us with, then the answer is going to be, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. And here's the result in verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But through the Lord's help, we can make ourselves useful. we can set ourselves about the business of the Lord's work and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what we want to hear. That's what we need to be working toward. Colossians, the third chapter and the 23rd verse, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." That's the mindset that we need to have toward the Lord. And how about others? How about others that are around us? Mark 10 and 43. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." If you want to be something of honor, if you want to be a vessel of honor in the Lord's kingdom, then you need to be a servant to others. How much more plain can that statement be? If we do not see ourselves as a servant to others, the Lord is not going to see us as a vessel of honor. Have you ever met somebody who seemed to be too important for some tasks or some jobs? Maybe at your workplace, you met some folks that task was just a little too good for them, so they avoided it. They let someone else take care of that. Well, there's many ways in the Lord's kingdom to serve. And I'm going to encourage you this morning that you don't view yourself as too important to do the tasks that are at hand. We can dream about all the great things that might need to be done in the rest of the world, but are we too good to do the things that are right here, right now, right around us? The things that need to be done in the Lord's kingdom. Let's not view ourselves too important to do those things. A true servant's attitude does not view what needs to be done as beneath them. Remember the many examples of seemingly small things recorded in the scriptures. Remember Rahab hid the spies and changed the course of that battle. That seemingly was a small task compared to the battle itself, but it wouldn't have occurred that way had Rahab not done what she did. Remember the widow that simply gave Elisha a place to stay. Remember the young lad that offered only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet the Lord was able to take that small contribution and feed a whole multitude. Remember the widow that cast in 2 mites, and yet the Lord said she gave more than all the rich men. The list can go on and on of these examples. When we have a servant's heart, the Lord can take what we have and He can do wonderful things with it right now, right here, things that are here to do. The next time you see something that needs to be done for the church or some other individual, don't think of yourself as being too important to take on that task. And in so doing, you will become the kind of vessel that the Lord can use. You will be brought to a noble place, not in your own thinking, but by the Lord's action, because you were a servant. So we need to be useful, and the way we can be useful is to be a servant. The next thing in that list is to prepare ourselves. So we need to cleanse, we need to sanctify, we need to be useful, we need to prepare. We must be ready when the opportunity comes, prepared with the knowledge and the faith that's necessary to get the job done when it needs to be done. If every time I was given a task at my workplace, I had to go learn how to do it, I wouldn't be there very long. If every time there was an emergency on a highway, the EMT had to read his manual to know what to do next, some of us right here wouldn't be here. We need to be ready. We need to be useful on demand. We dare not put off our preparation lest we find ourselves unfit. The Lord looks for something and doesn't find it in us because we aren't ready. Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 1st verse. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. You know the rest of this story. 5 of them were prepared, 5 were not. 5 of them took their lamps with oil, and 5 did not. The wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. Every time we study, every time we meditate on the scriptures, each time we pray for strength and wisdom to do the Lord's will, it's like putting oil in our lamp. It's like trimming the wick. It's being ready. It's being prepared. Titus, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. That's what Titus was instructed to do. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. To be ready to give an answer. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Again, be ready in season and out of season. How do we go about preparing ourselves for this work? We equip ourselves with the armor of God. We load up our minds with God's word. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that. All things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives us the complete package if we will but use it. We need to learn from the true source. We need to be careful what we fill our minds and our hearts with. A little later in this letter to this second letter to Timothy, looking at the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, this is what he says. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Let me read that passage one more time. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, what that speaks to me is that it does matter what we think about. It does matter what we read. It does matter what we look at and listen to. What was Timothy being encouraged to do? Continue in the things which he has learned and been assured of. What are we assured of when it comes to learning from the Lord? What's the only thing that we have with the seal of the Lord's approval on it? Well, that's His Word, isn't it? If we are to view anything else that comes from the world as equal with God's Word, we're in trouble. We're opening our minds and hearts to false teachings and false doctrine. We're going to have a lot of things we can listen to and a lot of things that we can consider, but if we consider it equal to God's Word, if we consider the source other than His Word and the church, we are not doing what Timothy was instructed to do here. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete and thoroughly equipped. That means that we don't need the other things that are all out there waiting for our attention, our time, and our money in order to be equipped for the Lord's service. Beware of false teachers and false doctrines. Be satisfied with God's word and His plan for the church. Don't be like those described in this verse, 2 Timothy 3 and 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We don't want the Lord to view us that way. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever met somebody that seems to be very interested in knowing the truth, but even after several years of studying, or maybe even several years of being in the church, they still have the same questions about basic doctrine? They still have the same doubts as to what is right, what is wrong? Every time they hear a new idea from the world, it's like the wind blowing them a different way. They have to start all over again, learning about what the church is and its teachings. Brothers and sisters, this is debilitating. This keeps us from being a servant to the Lord. We need to answer those questions through the Lord's word once and for all. We need to be solid on what the basic teachings are in our lives, and we need to move on if we're going to be profitable, rather than listening to everything that's being taught in the airwaves and having it influence and cause us to doubt. Because when we're doubting, we're not going to be useful to the Lord. So where do you find yourselves today? When the Lord looks at you as a vessel, is he going to see a vessel of honor or one of dishonor? He wants to be able to use you for his noble purposes. And I challenge you, as this year comes to a close, that you examine yourself in the light of these verses that we just took a look at today and say that the Lord wants to use you this next year. He wants to be able to look at you as a vessel of honor. He wants to be able to use what he has deposited in you for his purpose. Are you going to be ready? Have you cleansed yourself? Have you sanctified yourself? Have you made yourself useful? And are you prepared for the Lord's work? If you're here this morning and you're not even a vessel in the Lord's kingdom, then we urge you to consider how that you can become something important in this life and the life after. If you find that there is no meaning or purpose to your life, let me tell you about something that will bring that purpose to your life. Let me tell you about a way that you not only can have a purpose, but you can have the most noble purpose that ever was, that you can be raised up and used by the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe in his kingdom. If you'll but accept his Son and what he has done for you, as we stand and sing the song that was announced.